I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
I see.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess has got the day off. My faithful bride, Mary Danielle, is joining me. And I want to wish you again a happy Thanksgiving weekend. Hope you had lots of joy with your family and friends. Amen. And I hope you had an attitude of gratitude, because that's welcome just about everywhere.
Amen. Amen.
And we have a special edition today. I'm really excited. I thought, well, you know, I could relax, sit at home today. And no, I couldn't, because I'm reading a book called The Day Is Now Far Spent by Cardinal Robert Sarah. And I'm going to share with you what my wife and I do probably every evening with good books, because I think it's going to get you excited to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Welcome, my love.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you're here. And, you know, I want to remind everybody, Archbishop Fulton Sheen's beatification is taking place December 21st in Illinois,
Peoria.
But I'm going to be here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, and I'm hoping you are too, because we're going to view the beatification on a big screen in the chapel. And after the 8 a.m. beatification, we will have our own special Mass of Thanksgiving. After that Mass, we'll have a big festive potluck in the church courtyard. So we want to invite you, and there's no cost. Just bring a salad, bring whatever you want to bring.
Bring something.
Something so that we all can eat after the celebration.
Amen.
And also, I have a very special gift for everybody. By December 1st, I have on the website a gift by Dr. Scott Hahn on answering common objections. The transcripts are going to be given to you. All you have to do is go to our website, register, you're on our website, and then you'll get a link where you can download. It's almost like a book on apologetics, yeah. And he's probably the best. I think I don't think too many people would argue with me that Dr. Hahn's up there when it comes to apologetics. So that's my gift to you. And I want to also say Advent's coming on Sunday, right? We're at the end of the liturgical year today. So I want to have the gospel read, the gospel of Luke today, because, it's the end times, because we're at the end of the liturgical year. Mary Danielle, could you read the gospel of Luke for us, please?
Okay, this is from Luke 21:29-33.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus told his disciples a parable. Consider the fig tree and all the other trees. When the buds burst open, you see for yourself and know the summer is now near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And it's interesting, because what is he talking about, these things? Well, if you... yesterday was Thanksgiving Day here in the United States, so many of us didn't get the gospel of the day yesterday. The gospel of the day yesterday was from Luke 20:28, and Jesus is describing the fall of Jerusalem. And it's interesting, because people are, you know, there are many modern scholars who say, well, you know, first of all, he's talking like the end of the world is coming, and the end of the world didn't come, so he must have been wrong. And I say, well, maybe we're not understanding Jesus.
You think?
Is it Jesus was wrong? Was God wrong?
No.
Or is it that we don't understand him?
Exactly.
For the Jews, when their temple was destroyed, the end of the world did come. Because you see, their temple was a microcosm of the world.
That's right.
And so when their temple was destroyed, as far as they were concerned, the world came to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they understood that they still had to continue living their life on this earth if they survived the calamity. So Jesus is warning them. There's certain things that are going to happen. And he had told them in the verses preceding it that there would be an army that would put up palisades around Jerusalem and would encircle Jerusalem. And when this happens, leave, flee. If you see them coming, go. You see those armies coming to set up a blockade and not allow anybody in and out of Jerusalem, you better get going. And so there were no Christians in Jerusalem when the Romans came and set up their blockade. They besieged Jerusalem.
The city, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Christians had all left.
Sure.
And Flavius Josephus talks about it in his writings, the Jerusalem War, the Jewish wars, And what took place inside Jerusalem was pretty horrible once the Romans had set up their blockade around the city. So if you want to read it, get Flavius Josephus' account. But Jesus is telling them, the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, was the kingdom of God at hand? Absolutely. As soon as Jesus came, he came to establish the kingdom of God. And it's not, there was one author in the early, about the turn of the 19th to the 20th century who wrote, Jesus promised the kingdom when we got the church. No, Jesus promised the kingdom, and that is the church. It's not the fullness of the kingdom, by the way, because the fullness of the kingdom is in heaven. We don't have a finality here in this world. We're waiting for heaven. Our eyes are fixed up above on heaven, actually, mm-hmm. and up ahead, but again, up above, because we're fixed on heaven. And so he said that this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Well, in 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed, and the temple was absolutely burned to the ground. The Romans hadn't intended to destroy the temple because the Romans were very big on keeping the wonders of the world. And that temple had taken 70 years to build.
Huge rocks.
And it was a massive and it was incredible edifice.
Mm-hmm.
But when they came into Jerusalem and saw the debauchery that was taking place within the city, they were so, even the pagans, and these were pagan Romans, they were so disgusted that they just set the place on fire.
Wow.
And they burned the whole thing down. They just destroyed it. And so, yeah, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass. Jesus Christ established his church, and his church will last until the end of time. And the fullness of his church is in heaven, where we are all part of the wedding feast of the Lamb.
And we call that the church triumphant.
The church triumphant. And what Jesus here is actually referring when he refers to the calamities that are coming, and he in the verses just prior, verses 27 and 28, he's referring to himself mm-hmm. as the Son of Man coming in the clouds with mm-hmm. great power and glory. He's referring to the prophecy in Daniel that we read today, actually, mm-hmm. Where you see these horrible beasts, and then you see the ancient one come, and then you see one like a Son of Man coming on the clouds in great glory. It's in Daniel 7, and it's chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And Jesus is referring to himself as that Son of Man. So, yes, the end times, we're preparing for the end. We're supposed to be preparing every day for the end of our life because none of us knows the day or the hour. And we should always be prepared to meet the Lord whenever mm-hmm. he comes to call. We have no finality here on this earth. We want to be ready to go to heaven. So be ready. And that's what Jesus is telling us. Be ready.
Thank you. And I want to also mention, Mary Danielle does the Bible with the Barbers on Virgin Most Powerful on Tuesdays at noon. But you can always get it on the website, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and download the podcast at any time. But if you like a good Bible study, Mary Danielle, just for those who don't know, has a master's in biblical studies from John Paul II, the great university. And I will add this, Mary, I've always enjoyed talking about the Bible with you. But I want to also mention, that's great commentary, we always bring Bishop Sheen into the room. He's the smartest guy in the room. And I don't know if the trains are running on Thanksgiving weekend. God bless them. Full Sheen ahead. What's the good bishop have to say on this day after Thanksgiving? Very appropriate. He says, someday we will thank God not only for what he gave us, but also for that which he refused. Yeah. Think about that, because so many times I'll even think of my own life. I thought I was supposed to go to the Philippines, you know that, Mary Danielle, to be a missionary. When the priest called me 2 days before my flight and said, nope, our mission's closing, we're all sick, pick us up at LAX.
Yeah,
and I was so devastated. It was a very difficult thing, but all those priests ended up getting serious diseases, and they couldn't function in their full-time ministry the rest of their life. They were basically invalids, and so now, for the last 40 some years, I've been very active.
Right.
But you see, I didn't see it that way at the time.
No, we can't see the future, but God knows it all.
And you know, I want to talk about something that's very special to me and my wife. It's a book by Ignatius Press called The Day Is Now Far Spent. I had a priest from Alabama call me yesterday. He says, you got me to get that book. I love it.
Good.
Well, it's a great book because it talks about the times we're living in right now.
Amen.
And one of the things he sets the stage on, it's a conversation with Cardinal Seurat. He is the prefect for the doctrine on for the liturgy. He's the head guy for the liturgy, and he has a lot of things to say about this. But he says something so powerful. When we come back, he's going to talk about his cry of his soul. That's why he wrote this book. Yeah. He had to come out and speak the truth. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of another saint, Saint Pope Felix III. What? Who's he? Back in 475 AD, this saint said, "Not to oppose error is to approve it. Not to defend truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them." I truly believe Cardinal Seurat is like saying, I'm going to be meeting my maker. Did I do my best to communicate the love of Jesus Christ to the flock? And boy, his heart is in this book. And when we come back, you're going to get a chance to hear about it. I want you to read it, but we're going to take three segments and you're going to be excited. Get yourself a cup of coffee, some hot tea, because what we're going to share is right from the heart of one of the holiest cardinals in our church today. Amen. You're listening to Bible with the Barbers, but
no,
it's not.
It's Friday.
Nope, it's Friday. Her show with me is on Tuesdays on Virgin Most Powerful. But right now we're doing the Terry and Jesse show. We're going to take a book by Cardinal Robert Seurat. We're going to take sections of it. And if this doesn't inspire you, I think I'm going to pull a pin out and poke you and see if you bleed. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Hey, I hear the music. We'll come right back. You're going to be excited when you hear what the good cardinal has to share about his Catholic faith and about how we can be holy. Because you know what else? What else is there? You know, this is our call. Universal call to holiness, the Second Vatican Council. We'll be back with much more with the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We are too blessed to be stressed and too anointed to be disappointed. We'll be right back.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together, we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the Merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's Convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this Word. May God grant that we always rely on His Word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, not exactly. It's not Jesse. He's got the day off. It's the day after Thanksgiving, but I know a lot of people are going to hear this podcast because the title of the show is The Day Is Now Far Spent by Cardinal Robert Seurat. If I had him in the room right now, I'd be asking him questions. What would I ask him? But Mary, he says in the opening of the book that this is a book, is a cry of my soul. What a great way of saying it. He says, it is a cry of love for God and for my brethren. He says, I owe it to you, Christians.
Yeah.
What does he owe? The truth, because that's the only thing that saves. He says, the church is dying. Check this out. And I didn't say it. I agree with him. He said, the church is dying because her pastors are afraid to speak in all truth and clarity. What do we say here?
Clarity with charity. Charity with clarity?
Yep.
I mean, clarity and whatever.
We do both. So he
try
says,
and keep them together.
He's talking about the bishops and the leaders in our church. He says, we're afraid of the media, afraid of public opinion,
afraid
of our own brethren.
Whoa.
He says, the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. If this isn't inspirational to bishops, priests, the Holy Father, to everybody in leadership,
it really
touched me. He says, today, in these pages of this book, I'm going to offer you what is the heart of my life. What is his heart and his life? Faith in God.
Faith in God. And do we hear his cry? Do we feel his cry?
Mm.
Are we suffering over what we see happening in the church?
Mm.
Then unite it to Jesus on the cross.
Yep.
And remember, it's again, we don't have a finality here in this world.
Nope.
And the deal is, when the church suffers, when the members of the church suffers, Christ doesn't suffer in heaven, but he suffers in his members. And it doesn't please him when we do what's wrong, because it destroys us. And Cardinal Seurat he's calling, how many of us can identify with this reality of living in this fear? We're afraid of what the neighbors are going to say. We're afraid to say anything at work because we might lose our job.
Exactly.
We're afraid to speak out. We're afraid to tell the truth about what we believe in regards to politics because we're afraid we're going to get beat up. Are we allowing fear to dominate our life? Or are we living with courage, with the hope of a resurrection, with the hope of coming to the fullness of life in Christ, and therefore willing to share Christ with others and the joy of Christ? And that's the cry of his heart, because what he sees in the church is we should be full of joy. We should be so on fire with the joy of the Lord that the fire catches and that people are attracted to Christ. And here we're living in fear and trembling and sitting in the corner and we're shaking. And our bishops, are we praying for our bishops so that they'll have the courage to stand up and be true shepherds?
And that's why every Thursday night at our chapel for 2 hours before our Eucharistic King, we pray for our shepherds, for the Holy Amen. Father, the bishops. He also says this, it's a whole section on talking to the leadership of the church, the bishops. He says, we bishops ought to tremble at the thought of our guilty silence and our complacent silence over our indulgent silence in dealing with the world. I mean, he goes on and on. I won't go much further, but I say the same thing about myself, what you just said. Are we silent to speak up for the unborn?
And here's the deal. I remember a story Monsignor William Smith, before he died, God rest his soul, told at the HLI conference, way back in 1990 or something.
Yep.
And he talked about the bishops from the east, the United States, northeast of the United States, were having their ad limina visit with the Holy Father, and a group of them was having lunch with him. And a prominent prelate from the United States said to Pope John Paul II,
right,
Holy Father, there's so much invincible ignorance out there. Surely the people aren't going to hell. And the Holy Father put down his soup spoon and he said, well, there's much ignorance out there. He didn't use the word invincible. Invincible means unable to be overcome. When you're ignorant because everybody refuses to instruct you, that's not invincible. The people are ignorant. That is true. And because of the ignorance, they might not go to hell. But, and I'm not saying this as a joke, this made me tremble when Monsignor said this, but the priests and the bishops responsible for that ignorance most surely will go to hell.
That's what the saint said.
Pope John Paul II finished his lunch. The American bishops didn't.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Are we willing to pray and sacrifice for our bishops so that and our priests, so that they'll tell us the truth even when it makes us uncomfortable, so that they don't go to hell and we don't go to hell?
Here's a little section on Catholic doctrine that should inspire you and make it really clear for you. You know, he talks about we owe Christian people clear, firm, stable teachings.
Clarity,
right?
Yeah. Clarity, right?
How can we accept bishops, how can we accept bishops' conferences that contradict each other? I've said the same thing, Cardinal.
Yeah.
where confusion reigns. Yeah. And here's what he says, Mary. God cannot dwell. He says the unity of the faith presupposes the unity of the magisterium in time and space. Here's a perennial teaching of the church. Here it comes. I can hear it coming. He says, when a new teaching is given to us, here's the key, everyone. It must always be interpreted in a way consistent with the earlier teaching. If we introduce ruptures and revolutions, we break the unity that rules the Holy Church over the course of the centuries. Now, listen to this. Mary, give me your comment. This does not mean that we are doomed to repeat fixed formulas, but any development, this is the key, must be better understanding and more in-depth version of the past teaching. And this is a big word. You can explain it. The hermeneutic of reform in continuity with Pope Benedict XVI taught so clearly as an indispensable condition of unity. I'm almost finished, and I want your comment. Here it comes. Those who make sensational announcements of change and rupture are false prophets. That's a strong statement, Mary. Very strong statement. Whoa. They do not seek the good of the flock. They are mercenaries who have been smuggled into the sheepfold. Man, picture that.
Whoa.
Our unity will be forged around the truth of what? Catholic doctrine. There are no other means. Trying to win popularity with the media at the expense of truth accounts to doing the work is really doing the work of Judas.
Wow.
That's strong, is it?
It is strong. But the reality is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gospel he preached when he was living on this earth, which, by the way, the gospel that you read in the Bible, the gospel, the fourfold gospel, the church said she unhesitatingly affirms the historicity of those. So, yes, you know the real Jesus from the gospels. And Jesus doesn't change, and his teaching doesn't change. Now, yes, what Cardinal Seurat is saying, we can deepen our understanding, and we should deepen our
understanding.
Every generation should be striving for a deeper understanding, but no new understanding can ever contradict. It's not a true understanding if it contradicts what has always been taught.
Well said.
So the church can't come along. She's not at liberty to come along and change what Jesus Christ taught.
That's right.
But because it is the teaching, but because it's God speaking to us, we can always grow and deepen in our knowledge and our understanding.
And this is so beautiful. He says, the Cardinal Seurat says, dear friends, your pastors are full of faults and imperfections.
Yeah.
But despising them is not the way to build church unity. Did you hear that?
Don't despise them.
Do not be afraid to demand of them the Catholic faith, the sacraments of divine life. Remember the words of St. Augustine. Let Peter baptize. This is the one Jesus who baptizes. Let Judas baptize. This is the one who baptizes. And here it comes. This is so profound what he just says. The most unworthy priest of all is still an instrument of divine grace.
Right.
Remember that.
Right.
When I have to remember that. When he celebrates the sacraments, see how much God loves us. He consents to handing over his Eucharistic body into the sacrilegious hands of our miserable priests. Now, here's what he said as advice, and I took this at heart. He says, if you think your priests and bishops are not saints, here it comes, everybody, then be one for them.
Amen.
Be a saint.
Amen.
Do penance, he says, fast, to make reparation for their defects and their cowardness. That is the only way that anyone can bear another one's burden.
Right. We're supposed to help our priests and bishops by praying for them.
That's right.
Not by giving them expensive gifts, not by taking them out to the movies, not by telling them, complaining to them about how difficult it is as married people to be open to life, and therefore how difficult it is to accept children willingly and lovingly as God sends them, and therefore, oh, well, you really need to let me practice contraceptives because you don't understand it, how hard it is in my marriage. No, we need to live our life fully in union with God, and then we need to challenge our pastors to do the same. Don't teach us falsehood. You are not the arbiters of the truth. You're the guardians of it. The truth is God himself. And if you're not giving us God, then you're leading us away from him.
Amen.
So we need to pray for our pastors and sacrifice
That's
for
right.
them. And don't criticize them. Don't beat them up. pray for them. And in charity, if you see something in your parish that's wrong, don't lambast them, but write a charitable letter that says, Father, this looks like a sacrilege. Can something be done about this?
Well said. He's got some things on faith, a real quick statement about faith is therefore a yes to God.
Yeah.
I love that.
Amen.
It requires a person to leave his gods, you know, world, the devil, and the
right.
flesh,
exactly.
his culture, all human assurances, and riches in order to enter the land, the culture, and the inheritance of God. I love this line. Faith consists of letting oneself be guided by God.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
Are we letting ourselves be guided by God, or are we trying to let the world guide us?
And then he says about the liturgy. He's the head man for liturgy. He says, faith is nourished by the liturgy, Mary, mm-hmm. by Catholic doctrine and by the church's tradition as whole. Its principal sources are sacred scripture, the fathers of the church, and the magisterium. Wow. We're going to have a quick break in a minute, but he says to believe means to entrust oneself to God and to his merciful love. I believe that that's lacking today. We really need to trust that God can take care of us.
We do, and we need to trust that it's interesting because I think at the end of the Gary Machuda show today, they were talking about that very
yeah.
thing, that we can be tempted to think that, oh, well, God's, you know, my problems are too big for God, or I'm too sinful. God really can't do anything with me. No, we need to trust God that absolutely it will, he will take care of us, and he can take care of us.
Absolutely.
And that we have no problem that's too big for God, that God is big enough to take care of all our problems.
Absolutely. I think we're coming up on a break. I don't hear the music, but I'll just say this. Some people, Cardinal says, some people would like the church to be transformed after a model of modern democracies. I believe that. There are people who want, let's vote on women priests.
No.
No, we can't do that.
No, that's not what we're
in
doing.
In it, the government would be entrusted to the majority, but that would amount to making the church a human society and not a family founded by God. Yes, Mary, we got a break we're going to take here at the Terry and Jesse Show. Mary Danielle is sitting in for Jess Romero. This is the day after Thanksgiving. What are we doing if you just tuned in? We're reading and reviewing a fantastic book called The Day Is Now Far Spent by Cardinal Robert Sarah. It's published by Ignatius Press, and I would encourage all of you to get a copy of that book. Mr. Engineer, are we hitting the music here? Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about this wonderful book. And I want to tease you because we're going to quote The Cure of Ours, who's St. John Vianney, and his great work, and The Little Flower. You're not going to want to miss what Cardinal Sarah says about these two wonderful saints when it comes to evangelization. Wow, that's my teaser. So when we come back, we'll get right into it. Let's look at some examples of the saints. And boy, does he nail it. Hey, we're going to come right back, get yourself a cup of coffee, some tea, and we'll inspire you with the good Cardinal's book on The Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist, and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil and the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered, it's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, A portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, it's Terry and Mary Barber because Jesse's taking the day off, and we are here talking about a fantastic book, Robert Cardinal Seurat. It's his book called The Day Is Now Far Spent. And I teased you about John Vianney and also the little flower, what he had to say about what one saint can do for the church. And I think we're all called to be saints. He talks as an example of the cure of ours, which is John Vianney, without doing anything but being holy. Yeah. Spending hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle. He attracted crowds from all parts of the world to a little unknown village. I mean, we all know that he was the patron saint for parish priests.
Right.
What does that say?
Exactly.
Next, he gives an example of the little flower who died of tuberculosis after spending several years in a provincial Carmel convent and did nothing but be holy and love Jesus alone. And by now, she has transformed millions of souls. Now, the chief preoccupation of all the disciples of Jesus Christ must be what? Their sanctification. Right. So we have a universal call to holiness.
Exactly.
And sometimes I wonder, Mary, if that didn't get the memo to people. They think that everybody wants to go to heaven, right?
Right, yeah. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to be a saint.
Ah.
But the deal is that we're all called to be saints. And yep. You know what? They're only saints in heaven. So, And it's not something we do. And this is the deal. So a lot of people think that saying, what is sanctity? And I remember when I was in college, I said something to a priest about, well, I know I'm called to be a saint. And he said to me, well, what does it mean to be a saint? And I was like, I don't know. Blah, 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 you know, and he said, well, to be a saint means to live in union with God. So the doing of our daily duty in obedience to God's will, that this is our daily duty. You know, when we eat that meal or drink that cup of water, in obedience to God's will, to do everything in obedience to God's holy will. This is what it means to be a saint, to be living in union with God's will. And then the graces flow through us. And it is God who accomplishes the work of sanctity in us. And Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, told Cardinal O'Connor, give God permission. Give him permission to make you a saint because God is waiting, because he waits for our cooperation.
Well said. You know, Mary, there's a question that comes up regarding, in your mind, he says to the cardinal, is there a connection between the loss of the sense of God and the loss of the sense of adoration? Now, before he answers that question, he did say something about the reform of the church that I thought really was apropos for us. He said, yes, a true reform in the church is necessary, which must make the cross central again. Mm-hmm. We do not have to make... Listen to this. We do not have to make the church acceptable according to the world's criteria.
Wow.
We have to purify her so that she presents to the world the cross in all of its nakedness.
Wow.
That's a very profound statement, if you think about it, because sometimes people want to make the changes in the church just to get along with everybody.
Exactly. And it's interesting because when Paul was at Athens, he tried to, you know, use philosophy to convert the Greeks there at Athens. But these are the heady guys. These are the guys who are into the intellectual elite, you know. And it took over two centuries to get faith into the heads of those Athenians. But you know what? He went down to Corinth where it was the armpit of the world. Even back then, it was considered the armpit of the pagan world. and a lot of broken, wounded people. And he said, I have resolved while I was with you to preach nothing but Jesus Christ
and him crucified.
And so, yeah, we need to get back to the cross. We've lost it. We need to get back to the cross. Jesus didn't do all the suffering so that we don't have to suffer. Christ suffered to redeem the meaning of human suffering. Suffering entered into the world as an intrusion when man sinned. God didn't make suffering. But you know what? Jesus Christ redeemed the meaning of our suffering. So now all of our suffering can be offered up in union with Jesus to help redeem the world.
Well said. Cardinal Seurat says, the loss of the sense of God is at the origin of all crises in the church.
Yeah.
Wow. He says, adoration is an act of love, and we need to have more adoration. He says, adoration is the greatest mark of man's nobility.
Isn't that beautiful?
Wow.
And how is that? Why is adoration the greatest mark of our nobility?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who is God and who are we? God is God, mm-hmm. and we are not, but we're his creatures, and he wants to draw us into his own life. And St. John Paul II said this too.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, he said the world and the church
That's right.
have great need of adoration. Never let your adoration cease. And he pushed for the establishment of perpetual adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Why? Because God is still Emmanuel.
Jesus Christ is
still Emmanuel, God with us. In the Eucharist, he's really present, body, right. blood, soul, and divinity. But he is God. And the first commandment is worship the Lord your God. And so we have to adore the Lord. And not only do we not sin by adoring, we do sin by not adoring him.
What saint said that?
Saint Augustine. And he was speaking specifically of the Eucharist.
That's right.
That you don't eat the Eucharist. You don't receive the Eucharist without first adoring.
Yeah.
Because it's really God. It's really Jesus
right.
Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so if we don't adore him, we're sinning.
Well, Cardinal Seurat is repeating John Paul II because he says we have a shortage of adorers. And remember one of the five stones at the end of Terry and Jesse's show of David is adoration.
Adoration.
Make at least an hour of adoration a week. And if you're retired, okay, here it comes. Make a daily holy hour.
Yeah.
Pray for the church.
Pray for the church. Bishop Sheen used to, when he preached a priest retreat, he told the priests, the fruit of this retreat is that you will go home and make the daily Eucharistic holy hour. And if you don't, my time and yours here at this retreat was wasted. But at the end of his life in 1976, when he went to the Eucharistic Congress.
That was the year, yep, summer of 76.
He told the people at the Eucharistic Congress, he said, everyone needs to make the Eucharistic holy hour. Yeah. Not just priests. Everyone, men, women, children, we need to spend time with our Lord because our faith is going to be under such attack. And this was in 1976, he was already saying this.
Yep.
Our faith is going to be under such attack that if we are not connected to Christ, we will not be able to keep our faith.
He says adoration is a personal act, and I love this, a heart-to-heart conversation with God.
Cora,
that sounds like, Cora. That sounds like Bishop Sheen and his priest retreat. Hey, he also says, one of our problems is we find no time for God because they have lost the sense of God. That's our culture.
Yeah.
There is not much room left for God in their lives. Mm. Nevertheless, the primacy of God ought to mean the centrality of God in our lives, our actions, and our thoughts. If man, he says, forgets God, he ends up celebrating himself. Whoa.
Right.
He nailed it.
And if we celebrate ourselves, what do we have?
Right.
We're a pretty sorry lot.
Yep.
God is God. God made us for union with himself. He wants to draw us into his own life.
He also says that if you end up, like you said, if man forgets God, he ends up celebrating himself. And then he says, he then becomes his own God.
Yep.
Wow. And sets himself up plainly in opposition to God.
Yeah.
He acts on thought and word or his own private domain.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. He says, God no longer has anything to do with creation that has become human property by which is necessary to profit. He's really talking about the world, the devil, and the flesh right here, and he hits it hard. And I love what he says, Mary Danielle, when it comes to, I love the divine majesty and the transcendent. He says, you know what the heart of our city should be? An altar.
Absolutely. That was, the Middle Ages, modern historians like to call the Dark Ages, were those times when the village, when the church, where Jesus Christ dwelt in the Blessed Sacrament, was the center of the life of the people.
Yep. He says this also. He says, man is great and attains his loftiness, nobility, only when he gets down on his knees before God.
Amen.
Because humbles himself. Humility. Yes,
right. When we, because God lifts us up.
Yes. He says, the great man is humble, and the humble man kneels. Whoa.
Man,
boy, what a message to our church
today. The humble
today.
Man kneels. Okay.
You know, the question came up to Cardinal in this book was, unquestionably, the loss of the sense of salvation in God is a mark of our times.
Mm.
He says, man does not feel that he is in any danger. You know what I mean? Because you got TV, you got your food, you got a warm bed.
Yeah.
Many in the church no longer dare to teach the reality of salvation and eternal life.
Whoa.
Well, our nephew, Dr. Barber, sure does. He came out with a book on salvation, didn't he?
Absolutely.
Get that from Augustine Institute. Now, in homilies, there is a strange silence concerning the four last things.
What are the four last things?
Go ahead.
Death, judgment, heaven, and hell.
Yep. Preachers avoid speaking about original sin. That appears to be archaic, he says. The sense of sin seems to have disappeared. Good and evil no longer exist. Relativism. Mm-hmm. Why don't you explain, Mary, what moral relativism is?
The relativism is that we
don't know.
Right? Well, yeah, exactly. It's not, there's no objective reality that stands outside of us. So it's and relative to what? Relative to how I feel about it. So what becomes the measure of truth? My feelings.
Yeah.
You know, that's not reality.
And that's what's going on. And that's why I think this book is an antidote to the problems in the church today. And that's why I want to encourage our listeners to go to Ignatius Press and pick it up.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't get anything as promoting it other than the knowledge that knowing that you'll read this book and it'll change your life. I had a priest yesterday tell me that the only reason he bought the book is because you kept bragging about it, Terry. Well, I'm going to continue to brag about it because I have one goal at Virgin Most Powerful, to help people get to heaven.
Right. We want you to know the Lord and know his love. What was it? The height and length and breadth and depth of the love of God poured out for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that makes all the difference. It doesn't take the suffering out of life. You know, the suffering is still there. But look at the Blessed Mother. Did she suffer? Yeah. Did she stand at the foot of the cross? Yes. But she stood there how? In obedience to God's will, open to all the love and the mercy that God wanted to pour out so that she becomes the mediatrix of all graces because she was willing to accept everything God wanted to pour out. So Jesus Christ comes to the world through her and the world can go back to Jesus Christ through her because she was the perfect receptacle and depository of all God's love and mercy because she was willing to embrace the suffering.
When we come back, the next question to the Cardinal Seurat is, do some priests therefore take nowadays the role of a social worker, which does not belong to them? Wait till he has this. Wait till you hear what his response to that is and what the role of the priest is. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when we come back, we'll continue to talk about The Day Is Now Far Spent by Robert Cardinal Seurat, published by Ignatius Press. We'll be right back.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoramus Society. Adoramus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Karstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoramus at the Triduum. Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us?
so that we may be freed when the test has come. May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, my wife is filling in for Jess Romero, and Jesse will be back on Monday. I hope you're having a great Thanksgiving weekend. We're doing a live show. I don't think anybody else is doing live shows today, but that's okay. We're going to go home and have a nice meal after this. The question that Cardinal Seurat has been asked by the questioner is, do some priests therefore take on nowadays the role of social workers, which does not belong to them?
Yeah.
He says, and very clearly, he says, the mission of the priest is threefold: to sanctify, to evangelize, and to guide people to God.
Wow.
Isn't that simple?
Yep.
Yeah, very simple. He says that, like Jesus, he must incarnate the presence of God, a presence that is supposed to convert, heal, and save souls.
Amen.
Wow, what a role. The priest is the good shepherd.
He's the good shepherd.
He is not there to invest his time primarily as an advocacy of social justice,
right,
democracy, ecology,
right,
our human rights.
Right.
Wow, wow, wow. These divisions turn priests into an expert in areas that are far removed from priestly identification intended by Christ.
Yeah.
Isn't that true? I never really thought that, Cardinal, but thank you. That really gave me a clarity on that.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, he says this about the levels of catechetical life sometimes is not what it should be. That's an understatement. I would agree with him.
Right.
That's why I tell everybody, get Bishop Sheen's Life is Worth Living. Go and call us at 877-526-2151, because that's his convert course.
It's a catechism.
I think that in this book would convert the church back to having a fervent church, and not just 20% of the people going to church on Sunday.
Right, if we had the prayer behind it, we need to pray and sacrifice. Right.
He says ongoing formation for believers is a fundamental importance.
Did we hear that? Ongoing formation. How many of us are engaged, actively engaged in ongoing formation?
He says, and this is pretty much, he's going to nail all my priest friends listening. He says, how can the faithful be fed if they only hear a brief 10-minute sermon each week? This is where this cardinal just speaks his mind. He says, it's a lie to pretend that after 10 minutes, people no longer listen. I agree with him.
Yeah.
They've told that statement all the time. Oh, well, we don't want to go any longer because they won't listen.
No.
Tell them, but when they go to the theaters, do they go longer than 10 minutes to listen to a movie?
Yeah. When was the last time you saw a 10-minute movie, people?
Yeah.
Or a 10-minute ball game.
Yeah. No, people will stay.
Or a 10-minute concert.
He says, if their attention span is so short, how do they manage to spend hours in front of their television?
Good question.
He says, the bishops are the successors of the apostles. Don't forget that, everybody. We ought to follow in their footsteps, preach as they had courage to do. I think it's Bishop Strickland from Tyler, Texas. He says, we have to become first century Christians again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Willing to lay down our lives for Christ.
He says this. He says, we ought to follow in their footsteps and preach as they have courage. We are not administrators, our ecclesiastical officials.
Right.
That's so beautiful. That sounds like Bishop Sheen to me. He says, we are the bearers and the guardians of the word of God. Bishops should take inspiration from the letters from St. Paul, who he wrote to the first Christians. Wow, would we have the courage to speak with such fire? Remember what I just said about Bishop Strickland?
Right.
First century.
Right.
God grant that our love for his word may not grow lukewarm under the weight of the procedures and meetings.
Yeah.
In the church.
Meeting to death.
Yep. In the church, the heavier administrative apparatus, the less room there is for the Holy Spirit. Here's a strong statement. He says, woe to me if I do not evangelize. Now, I hate to say this, but there's a bishop down in South America at that Amazon Senate who was bragging, Mary, for 25 years, he never baptized.
Yeah, there's a real problem here.
Yeah.
Do we have, not only the bishops have lost their identity, the priests and bishops have lost their identity as priests and bishops, and the people are losing their identity as Christians. We think we can just get along with the world and fit in with everybody else, and it's just business as usual. As long as I have plenty of food and a car to drive and I can get to work and pay my bills, then everything's fine.
Yeah.
Well, what about God? Is God first in your life, or is it the pursuit of money and worldly material goods?
Yeah, he covers this question on celibacy, women priests. There's just so much more, and we're running out of time. But I will say this. The question comes, how would you describe the close relationship between priestly celibacy and a divine absolute?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, question. Here comes. I often hear people say that it is only a question of historical discipline. He says, I think that is wrong. No surprise. Celibacy reveals the very essence of a true Christian priesthood.
Wow.
And he basically goes into saying Jesus Christ was celibate. Okay.
Yeah, he was. But he is the high priest.
Yeah, yeah.
All priests share in the one priesthood of Jesus Christ. There's only one priest, one high priest.
If I have time, I'm going to get it. But here's the question. But will the church, with regard to priestly celibacy, find its ultimate motivation in the link between celibacy and sacred ordination, which configures the priest of Jesus Christ to the head and the spouse of the church?
Wow.
Now, he says this about magisterial statements of St. John Paul II expressed the doctrine of Vatican II about the priesthood. This is something I encourage everybody. Read the documents of Vatican II, please.
Yes, please. And the footnotes.
In the footnotes. He affirms the authoritatively that the priestly celibacy is not a mere ecclesiastical discipline, but a manifestation of the sacramental representation of Christ the priest.
Wow.
This document makes it difficult, okay, to try anything different. On the contrary, it paves the way to rediscover by the Eastern churches a profound and radical ontological suitability of celibacy for the priest state. In 2007, he quotes Pope Benedict XVI. You want to quote him? Go for it, my love.
In his apostolic exhortation, Sacramentum Caritatis, the Sacrament of Charity, Pope Benedict reminds us that priestly celibacy expresses in a special way the dedication which conforms the priest to Christ and his exclusive offering of himself for the kingdom of God. The fact that Christ himself, the eternal priest, lived his mission even to the sacrifice of the cross in the state of virginity constitutes the sure point of reference for understanding the meaning of the tradition of the Latin Church. It is not sufficient to understand priestly celibacy in purely functional terms. Celibacy is really a special way of conforming oneself to Christ's own way of life.
Wow.
The choice has first and foremost a nuptial meaning. It is a profound identification with the heart of Christ, the bridegroom, who gives his life for his bride. By the way, his bride, the church.
Exactly. So he's married to the church.
He's married to the church.
And so his first priority, where would that be? To the church.
To the church, exactly. Well, and the previous, what Cardinal Seurat was referring to when he's talking about St. John Paul II, it was his post-synodal exhortation, apostolic exhortation, Pastori Dabo Vobis, and it was March 25th, 1992.
Right.
So that other one. But yes, so Jesus is married to the church. That's why he's celibate. He has one bride, the church. And that's why priests are called to be celibate, because they're supposed to be Christ.
Here's an interesting note. He says, no authority, no synod, for any reason or any other regional need, can claim the authority to separate purely and simply the priesthood from priestly celibacy. For as Vatican II recalls, celibacy of clerics is not only a command by the ecclesiastical law, but a precious gift of God. And what I'm concerned about, because he's talking about this, we know right now we need to be praying for the church in Germany because they're starting their own little synod, and they're talking about changing things that they don't have authority to do.
Right.
And that would split the church. I'm just being honest with you.
It's open schism.
Yes, it would be open schism.
When they start, you know, changing, openly saying, you know what, I don't have to listen to Rome anymore, and I just make my own decisions, and and there's no unity then either. And now the body of Christ is again split up. This isn't the first time this has happened.
No.
Just that we didn't have to live through it the last time.
But now that we're living through it, remember what Our Lady of Fatima said.
Yeah.
She said that souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. So we're enlisting you, our listeners, to make those prayers and sacrifices for Holy Mother of the Church. And how do we do it? Through the five stones of David. And Mary Danielle, we talked a little bit about what Cardinal Cardinal Seurat said about Eucharistic adoration.
Right.
That's one stone.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Number two, get the confession on a regular basis.
Yes.
Mary, the saints, when I talk about St. John Paul II, Bishop Sheen, and Padre Pio, say this. What is frequent confession? At least once a month.
At least once a month.
Right. And you can go more, okay? Number three, get to Mass as often as possible. It's the greatest prayer we have. Right after the Mass, pray your daily rosary. Our Lady is asking us at Fatima over 100 years ago, pray the rosary. The world is in terrible shape, and the rosary is our peace plan from Our Lady of Fatima. Also, read your Bible on a regular basis. I'm going to encourage you to come to the Bible with the Barbers on Virgin Most Powerful on Tuesdays, or just go to our website and download the podcast, and we'll give you good, solid teachings on the Bible, because you got to read God's love letter.
Right. And this Tuesday, we're going to have, I have Bible study also for local people at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays, and then at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursdays here at the Sacred Heart Chapel at Covina. 381 West Center Street in Covina.
Right.
And this particular Tuesday, December 3rd, we're going to have a special guest talking on the angels. Anyone who's local, please come. And remember, the day is far spent by Robert Cardinal Seurat. We just barely touched the surface. We didn't even get halfway through. There's so much here to teach us about what it really means to be Catholic. And we need to pray. He's calling us all. He's reiterating the call to holiness, which is the basic call of all Christians. Once you were baptized, you're called to holiness. And that's it. We're called to live a life of union with God. And we're supposed to be doing God's will, not my will. What was it Bishop Sheen always said?
They sing a song in heaven. I did it his way. They sing a song in hell. I did it my way.
So whose way are we going to do it? Where do we want to end up? And yes, hell is eternal. Souls in hell aren't going to get out at the end of time. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell, the four last things.
You got it. And don't forget on Friday's penance. This is another message that the gospel teaches. We can't get to heaven without penance, doing our own penance, and making expiation for the sins of the world, reparation. That's what we can do. Mary Danielle, I usually ask Jesse Romero this question. What state should you be living in?
We should be living in the state of grace.
And what state shouldn't you be living in?
The state of mortal sin. And by the way, we can never know infallibly if we're in the state of grace, so we say the prayer of St. Joan of Arc. Lord, if I'm in the state of grace, please keep me there. And if I'm not in the state of grace, please put me there.
Well said, and I want to give you a gift. We're going to give away, if you get to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, by December 1st, we have a Scott Hahn Answering Common Objection transcript that we did years ago that I want to give to you by just registering on our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. I hope the rest of the weekend is a fantastic weekend with your family and friends. May God richly bless you and full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you and your family. We'll see you again on Monday, God willing.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.